You are listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production.
Welcome to Two Peas on a Podcast. These current events and hot topics aren't going to talk about themselves. And now, here are the two Peas, Andy and Gerald.
Are you trying to seduce me? It's working.
Eddie.
It's working.
Eddie.
That is so romantic.
Missed you, brother. Do you know what tune this is? This is Reunited, and it feels so good. Listen.
Hold on. I'm ready. I realize I love you because I want you back. I'm back.
Here you are, brother.
Wow.
So not only
between
is it
between the sheets. Is this why you wanted me to wear my silk pajamas
yes,
today?
Yes, and thank you for wearing your Donald Duck shirt because he's always naked from the waist down, brother.
Always. Unless when he gets out of the shower, he wears a towel.
We talked about that.
Which
except
is
for
crazy,
when he gets out of the shower.
Which doesn't make any sense.
Which is odd.
It's one of those paradoxes of the Disney world.
Donald. You know, Donald. Dude's named Donald, you know? I just can't figure this shit out.
He's yet. A sailor.
That was a shot at our president. You missed it.
Oh, there you go. I missed the whole thing.
Donald J. Duck.
Yes. Yeah. Donald Trump still our president?
I don't know, actually. We haven't done the show in a while. I can't. You tell me. Do you have any updates?
No, I don't get nothing.
Yeah, we're just getting together once a month.
I don't get nothing.
Here's what we do, Andy. We just get together once a month now to see if Trump's still president. You're like, shit, he still is.
Okay.
Short show.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So, welcome in. What is this?
I have no idea what's going on.
It's Two Peas on a Podcast. This is episode 72.
72? That's a powerful number.
Which is a long time 72. In the making, brother.
Yeah.
I didn't look at the date. I can pull it up on my phone, but I want to say it's been a month.
It's been a month.
Since we got together to rap.
It feels
here.
Like so much longer to me because I miss you so much in my life.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I just want to hug you and rub your bald head.
Well, you're definitely welcome to do that at any point. We're reunited and it feels so good.
It feels great.
Peaches and herb, as they told us there in the opening.
Peaches and herb.
And what we're going to do, I mean, you know, we're going to do kind of the normal show, but we're on a summer hiatus for the most part.
Most part.
And I told people that on social media.
Did you? Are they okay?
You know,
are their lives okay? Are they going to make it?
I guess I don't see how they can, but yes. I guess so. And, you know, a couple of people have reached out to me. You guys recording, blah, blah, blah. So I told them we had one coming this weekend. So that's what
they're
we're
stoked.
Recording right now.
They are stoked.
Which I'm thrilled about to have you back in La Casa.
In La Casa.
So we can discuss
Andres
things.
Andres in La Casa.
Now, look, man. So we're coming up the end of June.
Yeah, man.
Getting ready to kick off July.
Yeah. July 4th is coming.
Independence Day.
Yeah, Independence.
Merca. What are you doing? What's going on with you? How's the last 30 days of your life?
The last 30 days have gone very, very well. The kids are out of school now, so they're summering. Lots of pool time, lots of camps. They're not driving me too crazy because my wife did a very good job of orchestrating lots of camps. Like, they go to camp every other week. Yeah. I think she wants them to survive the summer.
Yeah.
And me too.
Yeah.
So that's the idea. So they've been doing great. Becky's doing good. I don't see them very much. I guess that's why we're all doing so good. But on the 4th of July, we're actually spending the entire day together. We all have the day off. It's a very weird thing because we never spend the whole day together. Even on the weekends, I'm always doing something or something's going on, like got a wedding, I'm talking at a church or doing something. So this Independence Day, I will not be independent. I'll be dependent on my family.
Wow, that's kind of weird. Yeah. What are you doing? Fireworks? Are we doing the whole thing?
I don't know what we'll do. I mean, we'll probably cook out, eat.
I live
in Wake Forest. I live in a small town north of Raleigh, North Carolina.
You can do it at home.
Yes, and they always do a parade for the kids. The kids all walk down Main Street and all the red, white, and blue and stuff. Right, what do y'all do on Independence Day?
Well, I'll be working, but in the evening, we usually find a spot to check out fireworks.
Downtown Durham fireworks?
Nah, not always.
They do it at the Durham Bull Stadium, right?
They do, and my wife was entertaining the idea of doing that, and then also at UNC on campus at Carmichael Stadium.
Oh, that's awesome.
But
I bet it's crowded though, man.
The last few years, we have just, you know, popped up shop at Briar Creek.
Yeah.
In Raleigh, shopping center there.
Okay.
They do a great fireworks show.
Oh, wonderful.
So we'll just find somewhere to park our car and, you know.
The thing is weird because
kid runs around the parking lot, dodges traffic. It's great.
It's great. The fireworks are wonderful, and I love fireworks, and the kids love them, but it's traffic. Like, when the fireworks are done, everybody's like piling out.
It's a spectacle, man.
It's a spectacle.
So is fireworks more for you July 4th or New Year's Eve?
Ooh, July 4th.
Yeah, right?
July 4th, yeah.
It's like, let's celebrate, you know, blowing shit up, man. That's what America loves to do, you know. Yeah. Be careful out there, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
we're in America. These days, I don't know what the hell's going to happen on July 4th, so be careful out there.
Okay, I will.
But happy Independence Day to you.
Yes.
I won't see you before that. So, yes. And this you said thing, your wife's birthday
thing,
is coming
this,
up?
This, you know, the idea of America, the independence that we're celebrating, I mean, no matter how scarred that idea becomes, no matter what we go through, the idea is still very alive in our culture. So, I mean, that's something to celebrate. Yes, my wife's birthday is coming up.
He's still deep.
Check
guys.
This out. I got a story for you. I got a little story. Right. Very short story.
Go ahead. We have 56 minutes. Carry on. We had to fill the show. I've been doing a lot of research.
So my wife's birthday is on July 2nd, and she was born in 1976. July 2nd, 1976, 2 days before the American Bicentennial.
Oh, wow.
She could have been born on July 4th, 1976 on the Bicentennial, but...
She dropped the ball there.
No, check it out. No, she didn't drop the ball.
Her mom did.
They brought her into the hospital. I don't know if they induced, but because the doctors wanted July 4th off. That's why she was born on July 2nd.
Wow.
She was born on July 2nd because the doctor wanted July 4th off.
My sister's a nurse in Charlotte. And she'll tell you that doesn't happen now. You don't get any fucking days off. I mean, there's babies flying out all over the place now. Wow, that was a pretty visual.
Babies flying out.
That's a visual image there.
It's like a stork. The storks.
But,
flying everywhere.
Well, congratulations to your wife.
Thank you.
Happy birthday to her.
July
my wife,
2nd.
Ironically, my wife's birthday is next week as well.
I got to figure out something to get her, but I think I'm going to relive the microwave fiasco of 2007. On her 30th birthday, I bought her a microwave. And I was so excited. She had the same microwave since I met her. It was melting on the side. It was a piece of crap. So I thought, how exciting to get her a new microwave.
Sure, yeah.
And to this day, she makes fun of me for getting a microwave for her on her 30th
You know
birthday.
What? That is so funny. Yes. We're similar in that way because, well, two things. My wife's birthday is next week as well.
Yeah, awesome.
It's on, I believe, Saturday of next week.
Nice.
And I'm going on a little trip, you know.
Nice.
But she does that with me as well because the first birthday of hers that her and I were together, she's very hard to shop for.
Yes.
And she needed, she had been talking about it just constantly.
What has she been talking about?
You know, that she needed this item. Not necessarily that she wanted it as a gift, but just every time she would do laundry,
so
she would mention it.
You did the good thing.
So I said, you know what? So I went to Pier 1 Imports.
Bam! No,
and I got her a brand new hamper.
That's even worse than a microwave. You got a hamper?
And for like 2 years after that, she's like, oh, thanks for my hamper.
Thanks for the hamper.
So I've been there as well. Wives are hard to please, brother. That's the moral of this story.
She won't listen to this show, so I'm thinking about...
No, she definitely won't.
Check it out. I'm thinking about getting her containers. You know the container store?
Yeah, do it, man.
She has all this stuff, and she talks about... Check it out. She talks about how much she loves boxes and containers.
We're the same thing.
So it seems like a great idea, but I'm afraid I'm going to get it. She's like, you got me containers for my birthday? A box?
We're in the same mindset.
There's nothing in the box. You got me the packaging for a present.
You got me boxes. Yeah, we're in the same...
I'm not a two-year-old.
You and I are in the same mindset. There was a couple Christmases ago. I'm like, I got my wife chip clips. Put them in her stocking because she was always talking about not being able to, you know, put seal up the back.
This is what husbands do. They solve problems. We're problem solvers.
She's like, you got me clothespins? Like, I don't understand.
Happy birthday.
Oh, you know, hey.
Happy Christmas.
And Merry Birthday.
Merry Birthday.
You want to get into a few topics, man?
I'd love to.
We'll see where we're at here.
You don't want to talk about my failure as a husband for the rest of the show?
No, no.
That'll take up a whole show.
If we start leaning into my stuff, that's for sure. All right, so yeah, let's get into it. So we're going to keep the same format. It's going to be a little scatterbrained.
Is it?
Regular listeners, and I apologize, but I told you earlier, I'm just so exhausted. I'm busy.
You're busy, man.
I have no free time, brother.
You have no free
time. Your kids got, you know, home for the summer.
Bam. Bam.
So you're doing that. I don't envy that. Mm. And then, you know, I'm just working a lot and got some other stuff going on, and I just haven't had time to really read the news like I used to.
People need to.
Isn't that crazy?
People, it's crazy.
But you know, because you would think, like, just fucking sitting there, whether it's in bed or in your recliner, would have time to do
that. I got some time to sit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you're so exhausted, particularly from your job, I'm sure a lot of people know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You just sit down and you just don't want to fucking do anything. You don't want to read anything.
No,
you don't
want
to, even your eyeballs, you don't want them to do anything.
This goes to the phenomenon we've talked about a lot in the show. It's become one of our themes, the phenomenon of having news catered to you through social media.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to take the time. You want to read the bits that you're going to agree with, that are going to reinforce your views in your life. So that goes to the phenomenon of social media and how we receive our news.
Right.
Because check it out. My father's retired now, and he can sit down and read the newspaper with a cup of coffee for 4 or 5 hours, poring over everything, checking out all the different perspectives, you know, just the news. That's what he does. He loves it. But nowadays, no one has time for that.
Right.
So we go on our phones, and we get the sites that feed us what we want to hear.
So let's get into a few topics here, Andy.
Okay.
Want to?
I'd love to talk to you about things.
Listen, you know, we're going to do some entertainment news, but we try to keep things light, brother, but I just want to mention, because there was two really, really big deaths.
Yes.
Celebrity deaths, if you will.
Out of way to keep it light, Gerald. Well
done. In the last month. But yeah. I mean, in all honesty, yes. They both really surprised me.
Yeah, this is very important. This is pop culture news, but it's also very important to talk about.
Which I guess is the point, is that they were so surprising. Like, mm-hmm. why were they so surprising?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But two people, two prominent, like I said, celebrities. So Kate Spade.
Now tell me Kate Spade, she's a designer.
She's a fashion designer, and she's became most popular for her handbags.
Yes.
The Kate Spade
handbags. Kind of a self-made.
Oh, yeah.
Like, started designing, yeah. selling things out of her home,
yeah.
and kind of a self-made
right.
Icon, really, of a fashion and
I agree. Thing. And then, you know, I don't own any handbags. I used to rock a fanny pack back in the day, but I don't think it was Kate Spade.
Did you?
But I knew who she was.
Yeah.
You know, not my wife, but, you know, women that I know and my daughter. Huh. And I mean, people have Kate Spade.
Icon.
They're all
icon.
Over the place.
Yeah, she's
know?
An icon.
And then Anthony Bourdain, who was on a television program called Parts Unknown.
Parts Unknown, where he would, now Parts Unknown, he would go to, I mean, like, he started out as a chef. He was a chef in New York at a popular restaurant. Through this show, he would go to different cultures and eat different types of food. And also, I heard, mm-hmm. I don't know that much about him, but I heard that he also was famous for making the little guy known.
Yeah.
Like, not only the small corner cultures around the world and the type of food they serve and the type of people they are, but the busboys and the dishwashers. And he had this very inclusive, eclectic view of what food is, mm-hmm. how food is prepared,
right.
and what we should know about.
Well, what was the cool thing about Parts yeah. Unknown, which is kind of what you're talking about, and I've only seen a few episodes, mm-hmm. and ironically, my sister's husband Shane is a huge Anthony Bourdain fan.
Oh, really?
So okay. this hit him pretty hard. He loved that program. They DVR'd mm-hmm. every week.
I mean, it's like a social phenomenon, that program.
Right, right. And he was showing me some episodes this past week when I was in Charlotte, mm-hmm. and I got to see a few more than I had in the past. But, you know, he'll do this thing where, yes, it's centered around food of certain cultures, right?
Okay.
But the food is almost kind of like a backdrop, because he's really there showcasing the culture.
Yeah.
So there was one where he was like in Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to sound strange, but when you're watching it, it doesn't really strike you as strange, but he was discussing how pornography exists in the Chinese culture,
mm-hmm.
and it's different. Japanimation is drawn around mm-hmm. really kind of taboo pornographic images.
Yeah, okay.
But over there, it's like people are going into comic book shops and buying them. Like, it's just part of their culture.
Interesting.
And you're thinking yes. to yourself, is this a food show? What the hell is going on?
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's like every once in a while, they'll be at a restaurant and he'll be talking about the food. But yeah. it's like more kind of introducing you to these dark kind of, not dark, but I mean, just kind of
these parts unknown.
Strange.
These things right, we don't right, know because right. it's only, the thing is, the weird thing is, it's only strange until it becomes comfortable.
Right, right.
You know, and that's what widening perspective is all about. It's about learning what's strange to you but common in other cultures. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I think he was such a gift, and his yeah. show was such a gift to the world and to well, you know, how we experience life.
I mean,
he was extremely depressed.
Yeah, I mean, the quick story or whatever yeah. is that Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain both committed suicide mm-hmm. about, I think it was about 2 weeks apart from each other.
Yeah.
They were pretty much back to back. Here's what, so Bourdain had a really close friend, Eric Rippert, who is a French chef
mm-hmm.
and helped behind the scenes on the show. And he says, quote, "Anthony was my best friend. He was an exceptional human being. So inspiring, so generous. One of the great storytellers who connected with so
mm-hmm.
many.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I pray he is at peace from the bottom of my heart." So, you know, obviously both these people are going to be missed pretty a lot,
yeah.
and they already are, but it's just crazy, man. I mean, I don't know if you want to give any commentary on yeah. how surprising it, or at least to me, how surprising it was. And you look back, like, obviously I'm a Nirvana fan. You look yeah. back in the 90s to Kurt Cobain. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was, quote, leading the grunge movement. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was a superstar.
Yeah.
He could do anything he wanted. He could record anything he wanted. Like, he was at the top of rock and roll. And you could name any number of people that have committed suicide. It's just crazy to me that, I don't know, is it weird that it surprises us? Should it surprise us?
It should and it shouldn't. I think what, especially, of course, you know, suicide happens all the time. Individuals in dark places where the idea of not experiencing life anymore is the only saving grace. The fact that I just want this to end. The way I've heard it's described is, I'm tired. I just want this to end. I'm right. exhausted. And you mentioned it right. kind of jokingly, but we all go that. Through that.
Yeah,
we all go through that. But I mean, when you look at someone like Anthony Bourdain, or the one that shocked, I think, the world a lot, kind of, sort of, we kind of knew about it, but didn't really know about it, Robin Williams. Robin Williams is an icon. He yeah. brings laughter and light to so many people.
Right.
His influence over the world is so very, very stark, you know, and so very, very obvious. So you have people like, you know, this guy, Anthony's friend, says that he was such a gifted storyteller. He did, you know, he's such a powerful human being. Yet no amount of external success, no amount of external validation is going to make your life good.
That's the problem.
And that's what it teaches us, that there's nothing that you can say about my life that's going to give me purpose and meaning. I have to find it from within and bring that, because no amount of success, no amount of money, no amount of external validation is going to fill a hole within you if you have that.
And that's, I guess that's a problem, because, you know, I think, like, I have bouts of depression and I have things I go through, you know, periodically. And I always think to myself, like, it, you know, if I could be doing, you know, the one or two things that would be like my dream job, so to speak.
Got it. Yes.
And I know you have an aspiration to travel around and minister people.
Mm-hmm.
If I could do that, let's just say, somehow by snapping my fingers or getting the training or whatever
Very Thanos, yeah.
To make it happen, I would be hard pressed to see myself. I'd be like, okay, I'm going to be happy now. But I guess these are internal issues that's all just kind of fluff on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at somebody like Anthony Bourdain, I mean, he's fucking living the dream.
Yeah.
I mean, he's traveling around the country.
What we consider the dream.
Is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So even though he was living the dream from a career standpoint, he had some shit going on.
And that, my wife and I talked about this recently, because she's been in kind of a transition of jobs. And I think one of the things this teaches us is we have to be very careful when we're looking for it. Like, I'm going to be happy when I achieve it, when I have it, when I make it. I mean, we say that all the time. I'm going to be happy when I make it.
Right.
We got to be very careful not to put too much pressure on it, because happiness and peace and joy does not come from external circumstances.
Right.
We got to bring that to our jobs. Now, that doesn't mean we don't still shoot for the stars. That doesn't mean we don't still try to make it and try to find those things that we love and the things that we can give our light through. We can shine our light through. However, we got to know, you bring that peace with you, and if you don't have it now, you're not going to have it then.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? And I think the legacy of the Anthonys and the Robin Williams and the Chris Cornell, I think that's about two three months ago, the legacy is, we carry the light with us, we also carry the darkness with us. It lasts. Yep. It's there.
So I hate to get super deep there in the beginning, but, you know, rest in peace to Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain, two stars that will definitely be missed.
And their legacy will continue on. They've done, and that's also something to realize, that all of our legacies live on, the way we affect other people.
So speaking of legacies, brother, let's get a little bit lighter here. Also a little sad, though.
what are you trying to bring me down, homie?
To be honest with you.
You invite me over, you tell me to wear silk pajamas, and then you're bringing me down.
But listen to this. Jerry Springer.
No.
Has announced that he's announced that he's going to stop making his talk show.
Is that show still on?
It's still on, brother.
I had no idea the Springer show was still going on.
It's
going
to finish this season, which is his 27th season.
27 years of Jerry Springer.
27 years and 4,000 plus episodes.
Man.
The Jerry Springer Show is calling it quits.
I feel like that started that movement. I feel like there's a lot of shows like that, like the Maury Povich and whatever. I feel like his was the first and most extravagant one of all those.
Springer, who's age 74, did not release
a
statement.
He's 74 years old?
He is, yeah. He did not release a statement about the show's cancellation, but he recently commented on the rumors prior to the announcement. He said, quote, "We've stopped production on the show for now," unquote. "Whenever you make changes, it is sad," unquote.
Okay.
So, you know, did you ever get into the Springer show?
No.
That shit's crazy. Dude. You've seen clips.
Yes.
You've seen clips.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it had a little bit of controversy 10, 15 years ago because it came out that it was staged.
Yes.
And a lot of the
stuff. Of course it was staged.
A lot of the stuff was.
I had a friend. I lived in Chicago.
Well, what was so cool at the same time is if it was so over the top.
Yeah, that's the thing.
That you're thinking to yourself, holy shit, where are these people at? You know?
I had a friend in Chicago because it was filmed in Chicago and I used to live there. I had a friend who went to the taping of the show. He says, when you go to the taping, it's a little more obvious, the theatrics of it. But you still enjoy it. You still, because it's theatrical.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, he says that when you're there live, it's a little more obvious.
But you know, back in the day, it says here on the article that I'm looking at, back in the day, the Springer Show began as an issues-oriented, kind of like political talk show.
Oh, interesting.
Because he used to work in TV, and I don't know if you know, but he ran for mayor, I think, of Chicago.
What?
It was either mayor of Chicago or governor of Illinois, something
okay,
like that.
Okay, wonderful.
Something like Jerry. He was in politics.
Okay.
But after the ratings were not good.
So let's just get some...
He took a...
Just get some ladies to fight each other.
And what they're calling here is he took a, quote, Ricky Lake approach. With a younger crowd, with more salacious topics, such as one episode was called "I Want My Man to Stop Watching Porn," and another one was called "Sorry I Slept with Your Sister."
That's terrible. And, it's so funny, though. I'm sorry I slept with your sister.
And the rest is history, it says.
If you get brought onto the show,
and you don't know what's going on. The title of the show is "I'm sorry I slept with your sister." What do you think is going to happen? I mean,
there's some shit.
Why am I here, honey? They had, dear, why are we here on "I'm sorry I slept with your sister"?
Sorry,
why are you and my sister here?
I'm sorry. Why is my sister
exactly in the surprise audience? This is weird. I'm shocked.
My God, you're sleeping with her. That's why.
Oh, that's why the title. I get it now.
But anyway, he said he just did it to have fun. And yeah.
Honestly, fun is a great word to describe the show.
He's retiring. But
good for him. He's 74. Relax, brother.
Jerry Springer.
Take it easy. Go on a cruise.
Going
man.
Off the air. I don't guess they're going to film anymore since the production's halted on it. But if you're a Springer fan.
There's 4,000 for you to watch. You can go in the backlog.
Yeah, you can get the backlog.
Get a couple.
All right, let's see here. Okay, how about, did you ever see the Legally Blonde films with Reese?
Oh, my wife loves those too. There's two of them. They're both really, really good. The first one especially. The first one's like, I don't know. I feel like the first one's just amazing. I mean, it's like
it's awesome. It's a pop culture kind of phenom.
Reese Witherspoon is so talented. Yeah. She's awesome.
She plays Elle Woods, the kind of pop culture kind of airhead that wants to be
ditzy,
a lawyer,
but like very, very smart,
but very book smart, right?
And genius. Like she goes, well, I'm gonna be a lawyer too, and she passes the bar. You know what I'm saying?
So there's been confirmation that Legally Blonde film is in the works. Legally Blonde 3. And it's going to be released next year, and it will feature Reese Witherspoon once again.
Reese.
There has not been...
Witherspoon.
We have not seen this character, Elle Woods, since 2003's sequel, which was Legally Blonde 2, Red, White, and Blonde. Nice job there.
Yeah.
So...
do we have a name for the third one, Legally Blonde 3?
Not yet.
Back in the pumps.
Not yet. I like that, though. You should pitch that to him on Twitter. But I was a big fan of this franchise. Like you said, the first one especially.
Oh, my goodness.
But it's just...
And like many sequels, the second one just kind of built on the popularity of the first one. You just wanted to see the character again. And they take it to the next level. They take it from, you know, the law school or whatever, you know, to the White House. So, I mean, it's a classic sequel. So, I mean, come on, Reese. Reese is great. I call her the Witherspoon.
Is that, you guys are on a nickname basis?
Yeah, when I
the Witherspoon?
Yeah, when she calls, you know, like, hey, the Witherspoon!
You know what I loved her Election. Did you ever see Election?
No, I did.
With Matthew Broderick and her?
I did not.
That was a dark comedy, but that was a great film.
Election.
Let's see here. I'm going to bring up another article, but there's been some shit going on, brother, with Roseanne over there.
Oh, that's right.
On ABC.
That's right. Roseanne, the reboot was pretty good. I mean,
she hasn't been,
give us the news. What happened? Because we know, let's start with the obvious. The show got canned.
Yeah, it did.
And Roseanne got canned.
That's what I was going to report, actually.
But I need to know why it got canned. I need you to tell me.
Well, it got canned because I don't have that particular article in here because that happened so damn long ago.
It's like 3 years ago. Like, hey, Roseanne's not on anymore since 89.
But she made a racial joke, racial insensitive joke on Twitter about one of Obama's former staffers who was a black lady.
Okay.
And something about referred to her as a monkey doing a dance or something like that. I can't remember. I don't have the tweet in front of me. Obviously, it's probably been deleted anyway. Obviously, got a mad rush of backlash from that because it was racist.
And of course, I mean, when you work in a business that's rating oriented, and I mean, and of course, the world we live in now where we're very, very sensitive to this type of thing. And I mean, we're sensitive to it for a reason because we're trying to change. We're trying so hard to change. And I think that's the reason we're so sensitive to it. So, I mean, I'm not surprised at the backlash that the producers of the show said, well, dude, you can't say that kind of thing. We know you're Roseanne. We know you're outlandish. We know this is kind of what you do, but dude, you can't do this.
So here's the thing, man. So she had that tweet.
Yeah.
It was a couple days of a kind of a shitstorm backlash.
Yeah.
And ABC ended up canceling the show.
Okay.
So they said,
we don't want to do it.
We're not going to be doing any more Roseannes. Not only that, Hulu put all of their backlog of Roseannes, even the ones from back in the 90s. So just a giant.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Just a giant backlash. You couldn't find Roseanne anywhere. They were just trying to basically wipe it off the map because of her racist comments.
Wow. That's extreme, man.
Silver lining is about a week ago, ABC announced they're going to pick up a spinoff called The Conners, which is going to be a family comedy based on the Conner family from Roseanne without Roseanne. So there's speculation.
So they're making Roseanne without Roseanne.
Exactly. So the speculation is they're going to write in that Roseanne passed away somehow. What? Somehow.
The first episode, oh yeah, mom died. Let's keep going.
You know, she died.
You think Dan will be on it?
Dan will be on it. They've announced all the
cast. Everyone but Roseanne.
The cast has agreed to be a part of the upcoming pilot for The Conners.
Ooh, what do you think about this? How do you think,
Like,
well, I mean,
you have a show. How long did Roseanne run? What, 10 years? 8 years? 5 years?
It was 12, I think.
It's been a long time. You have a show. The name of the show is the name of the lead character. She's the central focal point. She's the, you know, the comedic focal point of the show. And it comes back. It's popular again. And now you pull the centerpiece away from it. Do you think the show is still going to do good? Or do you think it's still going to have the same magic?
I think...
Regardless of her beliefs, I mean, Roseanne is Roseanne. She ties it together.
I mean, I'm going to check it out because, truth be told, I loved Roseanne and she was probably my least favorite character on the show.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
So, and I didn't dislike her character.
I was a Jackie fan. Jackie's my...
I love Jackie. Yeah. Darlene, obviously, I love John Goodman. So
John Goodman is a... I want to call him an American treasure.
He absolutely is.
I'm saying it. I always love him and everything he does.
And as Dad Connor, he was such a really cool TV dad. So he was my favorite by far.
But he also complicated. Like, he was an angry, he had anger issues. He would blow up. I mean, it's a cool guy. It's a cool guy.
Oh, by the way, here's what she said on Twitter. She called the African American advisor to Obama. Her name is Valerie Jarrett.
Okay.
She said that she was a child of the Muslim Brotherhood and Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, it's a little extreme.
That's not good, bro.
Has Roseanne responded since the...
She apologized. I mean, she did a generic apology.
But I mean, since they pulled Roseanne and since they're coming back with Connors, has she said, okay, my best of luck to you guys?
Nothing I know of, no.
Okay.
Nothing I know of. I feel like she's popped up on TMZ and shit like that, but I don't think she's like said anything directly about the...
Well, goodness gracious.
But you know what I did read, what was interesting, I mean, it was a legal thing, but what I did read is that she would have had to sign off on this because... She was a producer. She was the creator of this family, of this story.
Ah,
so it's her creative.
So they can't just take the Connors,
right?
So without it's her, Roseanne's blessing.
It's
basically
her creative space.
Yeah.
So she had to sign off in order for ABC to do it. Honestly, so apparently she did.
I'd be pretty impressed. And honestly, you know, I guess impressed is the word. If she did that, saying that, you know what, I made this mistake. I'm the reason. Mm-hmm. So you guys go ahead, keep making the show. You have my blessing.
Yeah. I think the thing is, why should 10 or 50? Well, if you think of the crew, why should 100 people be out of work?
Yeah, because
for something stupid I said. And if she swallowed that pill and did that, then that's great. But she's still, in my opinion, at a minimum, you could say has racial tendencies.
Yes, our voice. I mean,
she can't. We already know she's a Trump supporter, which I'm not saying all Trump supporters are racist.
No,
but I mean, in other words, I'm not shocked that she made a comment like that, knowing that she was a Trump supporter.
Yeah, and I mean, nowadays in the environment we live in, everything you do. I mean, we're doing a podcast right now. This will go on. This podcast will go on social media. This will go out there. The things we say right now on this podcast, you know, we have to live with.
Right.
You know, we are saying things that will go out there in the world, and we have to live with the response. Now, of course, in this country, we're free to say them, which is beautiful. You know, but we have to live with the response. We have to live with the backlash. We have to live with what people think about it. And then the fact that everyone's listening now, I mean, this is kind of the culture we live in. So you got to deal with it.
All right, so look, brother, last thing on an entertainment bookend here. I really, really, really have been wanting to get your opinion on this.
And I thought
maybe you dangerous. Would, when I sent you the article originally, which has been a few weeks now. This initially broke a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
When I sent you the article, I was actually thinking this might be one of the ones you respond to. Because usually what you do, we'll tell everyone, is I look up different topics that we can go over. Mm-hmm. I send them to you so you have an awareness of what we might talk about.
It's nice to know what you're going to tell me.
You know, and okay, we'll talk about that this week. And then, but you don't really respond to them. You just read the articles.
Yeah.
So when I sent you this one, I'm like, he's going to have something to say about this.
Is he?
So I want to see, because you never did. So I want to see what you have to say. Oh. So obviously, now let me tell everyone the story.
Okay.
Just before you, because I feel like you might start going nuts here. So obviously, we are both, but you especially and your brother are giant Star Wars fans.
Yeah, we like Star Wars.
Okay. The Last Jedi came out this past December. Big success.
Yes.
Latest installment in the saga, if you will. Obviously, Solo, which was a prequel, which I saw, by the way.
I saw Solo. Fun. Solo was fun.
So in The Last Jedi,
okay.
There's a Asian actress, Kelly Marie Tran.
Yes.
Who plays Rose.
Yeah.
You're familiar. John Boyega's kind of love interest.
Yeah, she did a good job. Yes, yeah, she did a good job.
In the film, her sister's kind of the hero in the beginning that helps blow up the... You'll have to help me with the name of the ship, but the Imperial Armies.
Yeah.
So anyway, she's kind of a spinoff character of her sister we meet in the beginning and carries on throughout the film. And goes on these, you know, the journey with John Boyega, trying to find the Benicio del Toro's character. And she's one of the, quote, heroes kind of behind the scenes trying to get things going here. So
she has I want to think of it. She has a great line at the end before she dies when she saves the guy's life. He's like, why'd you do this? And she says something that's very profound about one of the central themes of the movie. And I can't remember it. Okay. It'll come to me.
It'll come to you. So the Star Wars The Last Jedi actor, and in this article, they call her a wonderful sunbeam.
She is. She's a light.
She left social media. Mm-hmm. And the reason she left social media is after months of harassment from Star Wars, and I use the term lightly, fans. What do you think, brother? You saw the story or not?
I did. Now, I got into the story a little bit, but what the Star Wars fans, or let's say fanatics, what are they? What's their problem with her? Because of the...
They're just hateful. Okay, like, well, first of all, you're a fan. Okay. And I would have no problem saying that you're a fan.
But some
of these people that call themselves fans are a little fucking detached from reality, yes. brother. Yeah. And they're more like Star Wars is the real world. We're living in the fucking movie.
Well, when you grow up and Star Wars becomes part of your life, like... We tend to take these things very seriously. And
That's the thing.
It becomes something we feel like if you mess with this, you're messing with my life. Like I'm tied to this. I'm part owner.
So that's why
we take every installment so seriously.
And this article says it best. It says the Star Wars fan base has a history of somewhat atrocious behavior towards various actors in the series, mm-hmm. with the worst of it unable to separate the characters from the actors who mm-hmm. play them. And that's kind of what's going on here. So Trans Exit. Rose from The Last Jedi from Instagram follows Daisy Ridley, who also quit social media after admitting to have to turn to therapy in order to deal with the intensity and virtual of the rabid and often foul Star Wars fan base.
Now, who is this? Who's Daisy?
Daisy is Rey.
Rey?
Rey left social media as well, yeah. I don't know if she's back yet, but Rey. She left a couple years ago, yeah. So what's happening here's what's happening. Okay. To make a long story short, what's happening is that Star Wars-like freaks are not appreciating the arc, as we've talked about mm-hmm. in depth, of The Last Jedi, because mm-hmm. it is completely different and breaks from the rest of the saga.
It's a hard movie.
Which is what I love about it, personally.
It's supposed to be difficult because the theme of the movie is we learn the most from failure. So the whole movie is about failure.
Right, and we've talked about that before. And, I mean, Luke Skywalker dies.
He's not the Yoda figure. He's not the peace-ridden Jedi hero. He's the disgruntled, angry hermit who's cut himself off from the Force.
So
it's different. Yeah, I mean, it's a hard movie to watch.
So just to wrap up, man, I mean, that's the story. I mean, the story is she had to drop off social media because these fans would not stop berating her mm-hmm. about, you know, her should have not been in the movie, basically. Yeah. And her character was, you know, pointless, and they got racial because she's Asian. It was very aggressive, and it was what you would definitely call trolling.
Yeah.
And it got to her, and I can see why.
Of course.
And she left Instagram and took all her pictures off Instagram, which were from the set and some other stuff with people from Star Wars. And she's kind of not able to. That's her life, right? Yeah. She's an actor. Imagine being an actor and getting cast in a Star Wars movie.
Yes. Now that's your face. That's who you are now.
It's one of your first roles.
Yeah.
So that's a great, obviously, that's a great uplifting thing.
But that's you now.
And then this happens. And then this happens to people that are going to see the movie treat her like this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you think?
Well,
just wrap up and tell me what your thoughts are.
I understand where this comes from. Every time I see a Star Wars movie, there's a lot of pressure for me to like it. There's a lot of pressure on it. Like it's almost, my brother talked about this as well. The first time I see it, it's almost hard to enjoy it because I take it so personally because it's a part of my life and I love it so much. It has informed so much of who I am, of my youth. The story arc is just beautiful. I don't love all of the movies, but I love the arc. I love the story. I love the universe. So that being said, you know, I also am a very peace-filled individual who lives in a reality that I know that it's just a story. And I know that, you know, the character they play is not the person who it is. Now, the problem is we take it too personally. And we feel like when we take things personally, it goes beyond our logic. It goes beyond our love and our emotions. And it gets into a place where we just lash out. You know, I'm having a bad day and you cut me off in traffic and all of a sudden I pull beside you, give you the finger, start yelling at you. I'm not yelling at you. I'm yelling at what you did to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm taking it out on you.
Right.
So what happens in these moments is they are taking out their frustration on these actors who portray the characters. They're taking out, like, I'm taking this personally. By you portraying something that I don't agree with, you cut me and you hurt me personally. And that's the issue here. The issue is they take it personally.
Yeah.
Because they take it personally, they're not thinking, they're just lashing out.
Well, my thing is,
with their
bro,
anger and their fear, and you know, they're just lashing out. And that's unfortunate.
The Star Wars fan base for me is a little much, bro.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I would almost say, fuck those guys.
We have it. I mean, I'm trying to think of a parallel fan base that
I don't think there is one. I don't think you can do it.
Yeah, not in our time.
I don't think you can do it. I mean, I think Harry Potter has a strong fan base, but I mean, J.K. Rowling. I mean, those aren't like, I don't know. I feel like these guys are a little detached from reality.
Okay, check it out. Let me try to pull this analogy for you to help you understand it. Christian fundamentalists.
Yeah.
bombing churches.
Yeah.
Christian fundamentalists, signs outside cemeteries saying gay people are going to hell. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus hates you, things like that. Sure. Why? Why is that? It's because there's a belief system that's a part of who they are, and your lifestyle challenges that, and they take it personally and they lash out. It's the same thing. Star Wars is who these people are. These fans is tied into their identity, their life. So when something challenges that, it's like you're challenging my whole identity, who I am, because they have identified with that reality. They've identified with that story. It's a part of who they are. So if you attack the story, if you fuck the story up, you're messing with me personally.
Right. And that's so the problem. You don't own that. You don't own the rights to that. You're not George Lucas.
Same thing for Christians.
Do you know what I mean?
You don't own the Gospels. You don't own the Jesus story. Yeah. You don't own God. You don't own the theology on that. And you don't own a way of living. The same thing. That's the story. The Star Wars story exists beyond you. You are participating in that story, but you don't own it. You don't direct it. You don't tell it where it goes.
When my buddy Nick and I were talking about The Incredibles 2 a couple weeks ago on his show over the Epic Film Guys, he had that point made about, you know, people kind of being upset about the sequel to The Incredibles. It's like, you don't own The Incredibles.
No.
You know, Brad Bird, like the director,
because
and Disney.
Of us, we feel like we do.
You know, you have to put your faith in the creatives that have control of the franchise, or don't go see it.
I think in the arc of the Star Wars universe, we will find that The Last Jedi will be one of the most important installments that we have seen.
It'll cause a
shift in our understanding of the Force and the Jedi. The Last Jedi is going to be one of the most important.
I'm just
going to
tell you how fucked up these fans are.
I guarantee.
Not you, obviously, but the fan base.
You're pointing at me.
The
when
fan base that I'm talking about. Yes. I'm just going to tell you how fucked up they are. There is a website right now called RemakeTheLastJedi.com. And there's an online petition that quote, fans are trying to get X number of signatures to get Lucasfilm to refilm
The
Last
Jedi.
That's how upset they are.
I'm sorry that The Last Jedi was difficult for you. I'm sorry that storyline didn't go the way you think it did.
All right, real quick.
That's the reality. That's the storyline. That's where
we got to move on, because I know we can talk about Star Wars all day. So real quick, Solo, what grade do you give it? Solo, out of 10.
Ooh.
Out of 10.
I'm giving it a 10 out of 10.
You can't throw around 10. You gave The Last Jedi a 10 out of 10. You think Solo is as good as The Last Jedi?
I'm easy. No.
You do give all Star Wars fans
different expectations. 10 out of 10. When I went into Solo, I knew that it was going to be a fun-loving, exciting adventure movie. It's not going to teach me very much. It's just going to be a fun, interesting movie, and I loved it.
I
loved every movie.
I'm giving it a 5 out of 10. I was disappointed.
Yeah.
Last Jedi, I would probably give an 8. What did I say? I said 7 or 8 when we originally talked about it.
But you didn't like Solo? Why didn't you like Solo?
I mean, I liked it. I just, I don't know. It seemed pointless.
Yeah, it's just a fun Star Wars movie. That's the point.
It seemed like, what the fuck? I mean, I love Emilia Clarke. I can't remember her name in the film, but his main love interest. I love her. She's from Game of Thrones. I don't know. The robot rights thing was kind of weird. They were doing there? It was kind of like hashtag Me Too, but with robots. That was kind of like, why the fuck? We don't need that.
But
that
was it's a window into the past of this rogue character.
I thought the actor did well.
Oh, he did a great job.
Harrison Ford.
Him and Chewie's relationship from the very beginning.
Chewie was cool. Yeah. To see how they met and everything was cool. I don't know. I'd say 5 or 6 out of 10.
I loved it.
I enjoyed it. I don't know. It takes a lot.
I'm going to give you some insight into my life, friend.
Yes.
I'm going to say 3 words that are going to change the way you think about me and the way I think about things.
Yeah.
I am happy.
You are, brother.
It doesn't take much I don't need Solo to change my life, because I'm just happy. Like, I like it. It's fun. It's a great movie.
That's the thing, man. I mean, you got a point there where movie critics do take it a little far, where it's like they get so serious about it. It's like, did you have a good time at the movies? I had a good time at the movies. I don't know. I guess substantially, I was expecting more, I guess. I don't know. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I liked it.
There are movies I don't like. Like, what's that movie recently I saw? My wife and I watched a movie. We didn't even make it through like half an hour of it. We turned it off.
What'd you think of Wonder Woman? I let you borrow that.
Wonder Woman couldn't make it through the whole thing.
Is that the one you're talking about?
No, that's Becky didn't like that one. It was just after Marvel has done such an amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's not
Marvel has filled my superhero quota. I need nothing else in the world. I started DC I don't hate to make the comparison, but what DC is doing, it's in the shadow of Marvel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't hurt my feelings that Wonder Woman is bad.
You know what they're going to have to do, bro? I'm just going to go ahead and tell you.
Put in the work.
Put in the work. After this Justice League bullshit and all that, what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to take like 10 years off. Don't fucking make anything, right?
Yes.
And then they're going to have to find the right director, the right filmmaker, like they did with Christopher Nolan.
From the beginning.
Like they did with Christopher Nolan with Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
From the beginning.
They're going to find the right director like 10 years from now. Pick a character, whether it's Batman or Superman or whatever it is,
and start
and
slow.
Just make a perfect film surrounding that character, and then use that momentum to build and add more.
Iron Man, Jon Favreau.
Yep, absolutely.
That's how Marvel started the MCU. Let's pick Iron Man. Got Robert Downey Jr. We're gonna get Jon Favreau. You hear interviews back then? They didn't know how it was gonna go.
That's what I'm
saying. They just did the very best they could.
And that's really what spawned the MCU. Now, a lot of people will argue that Spider-Man and Spider-Man 2 with Sam Raimi, you know, with Doc Ock.
Yeah,
that really started it, because those were Spider-Man 2, in my opinion, is a masterpiece. That's a 10 out of 10 film with Doc Ock.
One and two were really good. Those were really good.
All right, we got to take a break, man. We'll do a promo today. We'll do a promo. Okay. We'll run a promo show we love.
Sounds good to me.
Maybe we'll do Epic Film Guys.
What? Because
I dropped their name and I was just on their program.
Like it's hot.
So let's run a promo for those guys over there, Nick and Justin over the Epic Film Guys. And then when we come back, Andy, it's going to be a short conversation because we ran way over, but we'll discuss our one deep topic this week.
We just miss you. I miss you.
Hang tight.
All right.
The Epic Film Guys podcast is a film comedy podcast with two best friends celebrating everything we love about going to the movies. We've got great beer, amazing guests, and quirky characters unlike anything you've ever heard before.
Well, I just assumed you were drinking that chocolate stout that you were going to make with the cheapest crap chocolate ice cream in a Miller Lite. I remember being a young man and my mother telling me I didn't have a name because I was illegitimate. I don't know what that word means.
Subscribe to the Epic Film Guys on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, or your favorite podcast app. And we'll see you at the movies.
Welcome back in, guys.
Hey now.
Don't dream it's over, because it's not. We got a little bit of time left here. Episode 72, ooh, Two Peas on a Podcast. Gerald's here.
Andy is in La Casa.
Andy's here. Thank
you. You're taking it back, man. This music today, man. You're reaching into my soul, brother.
Yeah, I did do that. A couple of throwbacks there. But yeah, that's Crowded House's Don't Dream It's Over. And I felt like that would be a good kind of soundtrack to some of these children's situation they're going through right now. So that's kind of why I chose it. Mm-hmm. But the one deep topic this week is basically the separating of families at the border. Yeah. Been all over the news, man.
Yes.
Really, since we spoke last.
I've been looking into it as well, but I need you to tell me. I need to know a little bit more about, I know a lot has been changing with immigration law. I know that Trump has changed a lot with immigration law, but what has led to the sudden uprising of this separation? Is this something that's been going on now that we're just now shining a light on?
It is.
Or is this something that's really increasing because of the so-called no tolerance policy?
That's it.
Tell me what's happening.
That's it.
I need to know more about it.
I mean, from what I understand, Trump and his administration are really, quote, cracking down on border control.
Okay.
He wants his wall. He wants a very, very strong immigration policy, and he wants a visual for that, a physical policy.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a Trump administration law that says that any adults caught crossing into the U.S. border illegally are to be criminally prosecuted at the time of being caught, which when that happens, if you have your children with you, separation is inevitable. So that's what's happening. So the law is not to separate the families. The law is to criminally prosecute anyone coming in illegally.
But when you criminally
prosecute an adult,
you take the children away.
Right. So they have these internment camps, or whatever you want to call it, where the children are basically being stored, for lack of a better way to put it, until they are able to either be reunited with their parents or they can be placed. So I saw it's been a couple weeks. I don't know if the number is still accurate, but I saw a couple weeks ago there were over 1,100 children being held in this one camp in Texas, which is where a lot of the crossing occurs.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's what's happening. Okay. Yeah. So in the last few weeks, it's made just crazy news because of some of the images that have been coming out of the, like I said, the one in Texas.
And it's being made even more real, not only what the administration is doing and not only what this leads to, but it's being made more real because now we see the actual tangible results. This is what happens. And the separation, this is what happened. So I think it's spawning even more protests. It's spawning even more outrage.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
what's happening.
Exactly.
Because this is what it's leading to. This is what these stark rules and regulations are leading to.
That's exactly right. you know, so the images that are coming out, like you said, and the outrage as a result of that, you know, kids in cages. You've seen some of those.
Yeah, they're basically like, yeah, they're basically large cages, basically.
Kids literally crying for their mom and, you know, just by themselves in the middle of this room. And, you know, those kinds of images are being very prominent the last few weeks, which is causing the outcry. So Trump administration had this law in place to criminally prosecute upon capture.
Okay.
Which is a new law this year.
It was different before that. What did they do with them before?
Well, they weren't criminally prosecuting them instantly.
Okay.
So it was more of a, I don't know the best way to word it, but it was more of a, let's work together to either get you out of here and get you back where you came from.
Okay.
Or, you know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yes.
Whereas now it's just like, we catch you, you're prosecuted.
More of a gray area.
Right, right.
Which is what the folks that think that are, honestly, the folks that are in favor of this policy and the folks on the Trump administration, they are trying to create black and white legislation. They're trying to create rules and regulations that solve an issue. But the problem is, and I think what the other side is saying and what I lean toward is that this is an issue that doesn't have an answer to it. We can only better ourselves and we can only create solutions as we go in the gray area of what I would call human rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so the problem, I think the issue is that the Trump administration and his followers or his, you know, the people who support this, they want an answer, a black and white answer regardless.
Well, ACLU filed a lawsuit, right? On behalf of all these families. Okay. Cause that's what they do. And, you mentioned human rights, civil rights as well. So Civil Liberties Union. But what's fucked up? Well, I mean, a lot of this is fucked up. But what one of the most recent things that's fucked up about it is that the Trump administration had this law in place. It's new this year. It started making news a lot lately because of the amount of children that were starting to build up in these camps and the images that were coming out. So that's why it's been so prominent the last few weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Because the reality. We're seeing the reality.
Exactly. Yeah. We see it. It's tangible. Mm-hmm. And what happened a few days ago, just recently this week, is Trump reversed it and signed an executive order that said that you cannot release families, something like a 72-hour period, to figure out their immigration papers or to send them back.
So, wait, I don't understand. What? No, wait.
Trump reversed his own policy. Okay, so Trump put this policy in place however many months ago.
Okay.
And kids have been being separated from their families for the last several months. And like I said, over 1,100 kids, 2,700 families, I think, were affected in the last few months. Mm-hmm. And now he's seeing a backlash, obviously, because of the stuff that we've seen.
Yes.
And the ACLU and the picketing and that kind of thing. So he said the other day he signed an executive order that said you cannot separate children from the people that are being caught. You have to wait 72 hours. So they get to stay with their kids for 72 hours after being apprehended. And they have an opportunity to work out their immigration papers or they have to go back, but they get to take their kids back with them.
Isn't that better? Is that better?
That is better. But what I'm saying, when I said fucked up, what I meant was, is that he put this policy in place. All these kids have been separated. All this heartache has been occurring. And now he sees the backlash and he's like, oh, well, never mind. Let's don't separate them.
Now, I like that. But here's the problem here that, you know, that he doesn't really seem to put much thought into it. Like he's going with the tide. He's trying to do what the people want. But you know what? I'm going to put something out there that might drive you crazy and might blow your mind.
Don't
but
do it.
Leaders don't just do what people want. Even in a democracy, leaders don't do what people want.
Right.
Leaders don't go with the tide. What they do is they take everything you're saying into heart and they make hard decisions based on what they feel is right.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So you can't just make these decisions that affect people's lives on a whim.
The problem is,
maybe Trump's actually learned from it and says, you know what, I made a mistake and I'm going to make this better.
Well, he won't say
that.
He won't say
that. So mistake. Maybe I'm being too harsh.
But the problem is, too, is that it's not necessarily that the law or that the GOP is wrong. I mean, illegal immigration is a thing.
Yeah, it is. You know, and we do have an immigration problem.
Yeah, coming into this country illegally is against the law.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that's not the law and that people should abide by the law. Yeah. But I think it goes way beyond that to where this is a human rights issue.
Yeah.
So what he said recently with, you know, not separating them immediately and allowing them to go back together, like, sorry, you can't come in here, but you can take your kids and go back.
Exactly.
You know, that
you're putting the human first.
Right.
And I think all this comes down to, and the thing I really want this lesson to sink in with through this conversation is that We all have values. Individuals have values, and our country has values. The human being has to come first. Now, a lot of our immigration laws have to do with the human beings who live in this country, but the human being has to trump all. The human being has to come first. We make laws that reflect our humanity and our human values. Our humanity and our human values don't serve laws. I think I've heard of heard a lot of people, even Steve Bannon, say that this is a law thing. The morality is the law. Bullshit. The morality is not the law. Mm-hmm. The law follows our morality, which evolves over time. Humanity does not serve laws. Laws must serve the humanity. If it's not serving humanity, the laws have to change and evolve. And this, the problem with immigration, the problem with issues like this, is it's a huge gray area because we don't know what to do.
Right.
And we're not supposed to know what to do. We're supposed to just take steps, baby steps forward, making our lives better, always serving the human being.
Right.
Because you know what? Those Mexicans or those whoever that are coming across the border, they are human beings just like we're human beings, and they deserve the same respect that we deserve.
Right.
They're coming over here because they want a better life.
Right.
They want to work and provide life for their children. That's why they're here. So we got to take care of that.
Best of our ability. What I would advise Trump or anybody else in government to do, and what you should do in situations like this, in my opinion, is you should put yourself in their shoes.
Exactly.
I mean, how would you feel if you were ripped away from your young child?
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, how would I feel? You know, and I put that into my mind. Like, okay, where's a happy medium here?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to have strong borders.
Of course.
But is this guy that's coming in with his 2-year-old daughter that is going to be a landscaper, is he going to, you know, threaten this country to the point where he's never going to see his kid again?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's like, let's kind of pick our battles here,
yeah.
You know, and then I don't know if you saw, we're not going to talk about it in depth because I haven't had a chance to read through it thoroughly, mm-hmm. but a lot of GOP actually, but the Congress shot down Trump's border wall funding just yesterday, I believe.
Because the wall is not the answer.
So he's not going to, and it's because of the backlash of this too.
Though. Yeah, of course.
So they're not going to put any money into border security at this present time because of the heat they're catching off of this.
Now, I mean, it does go both ways. I mean, you can't just open up the borders and let everybody in because it's not good. Once again, it's not good for humanity. It's not good for the people coming over. It's not good for the people who are living here. But there, I mean, it's like I said, it's not about answering a question. It's not about solving a problem. It's about moving forward as a country, as a species, as a race. It's about moving forward and becoming better people on the way.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we can't look at this as, okay, this is the problem. Let's solve the problem. Well, this problem can't be solved. We have a great country, we have an amazing economy, and people want to come be a part of that. You know, we want them to be a part of that because more workers, more innovation, more ideas, more thoughts, and this is not a new thing. I mean, every time a new demographic comes to this country, there's an uproar, and there's a crazy, oh, they're coming to take our jobs, they're going to ruin the country.
Right, right.
But I mean, that's why we're so, you know, it's our demographic, it's our innovation, it's our desire to be the best we can be. It's our, you know, adversity and diversity that makes us a great country. So, I mean, like I said, it's not that we're trying to solve this problem, it's that we're trying to be better people.
All right. I agree with you, man. And sorry we had to fly through that. We just hadn't been together so long. We got tied up. So we got a few things to wrap up on.
Okay.
And I want to have some fun here.
Okay.
So a few things that I know you saw that I sent you. So Planners are bringing back cheese balls, brother.
Ah!
How excited are you about that? They're coming back.
Why does that make everything okay?
The popular,
like, you know, everything we've talked about, all the dark
now
stuff.
We're good now.
But you know what? But cheese balls. You know how many times my wife and I have looked for cheese balls in the store? Like, where are the cheese balls?
They're coming back, bro.
And I'm not talking about imitation cheese balls.
I'm not talking about
Market Pantry, Target, Walmart brand.
Balls.
I'm talking about the can of the cheese balls where you eat the whole thing because it's just so good.
Yep. The popular 90s snack is making a comeback. The Heinz Company confirmed it will relaunch its Planner cheese balls and cheese curls for a limited time starting in July. It will be available in a 3-ounce canister like the old days.
The can, man. It's all about the can.
And it's going to sell for $1.99, brother. Oh, well worth it. Am I right?
That's beautiful.
Well worth it.
Where'd they go in the first place? That's what I want to know.
All right, so $1.99. Well spent.
$1.99.
Well spent there, brother. Let's get some cheese balls. Let's pop in our face holder.
My wife's birthday's coming up.
Oh, yeah.
Cheese balls.
You said she loves them? Why
cheese
not?
Cheese balls.
Yeah.
Cheese.
So listen, dude.
Balls.
So you talked about the quality of life before and being happy and that kind of thing.
I think it's important.
So there's a 104-year-old woman.
Okay.
Obviously, she's lived a long life.
104, yeah.
A Texas woman named Elizabeth Sullivan.
Miss Sullivan. Yeah.
So they interviewed her because she's one of the oldest people alive. And they said, yo, what's your secret?
Okay.
What are you doing?
Yeah, what's going on?
So for the last 40 years.
40.
She's been drinking 3 Dr. Peppers a day.
Ooh, she likes Dr. Pepper.
And she swears by it.
A delicious soft drink.
She swears by it.
But what does she say?
Well, she. Oh yeah, what did she say? What was the comment?
She said,
"You tell me." She said,
"I've had two doc." She said, "I've had two doctors tell me that this is going to kill me, but they're both dead before me."
That's right.
And they both died first.
She said, "Here's a quote that the local paper did with her." She said, "Every doctor that sees me says that's going to kill you, but guess what? They die and I don't. So there must be a mistake somewhere."
There must be.
Unquote. Yeah. And what'd you say when we were talking about this earlier?
Here's the thing,
just
man.
Just be happy Here's in life, the thing. Right? The Dr. Pepper's
There's a lot of things that are going to contribute to your health. There's smoking. There's, you know, there's alcohol abuse. You know, everything, of course, in moderation. She's not drinking 10, 20 Dr. Peppers a day. So, I mean, there's stuff that contributes to our health and our well-being. But in general, what I find is happiness is what contributes most to a long life. And not only a long life, a good life. Because if you're happy and die at 60, you've had 60 years of happiness. Mm-hmm. If you're happy and die at 80, 100, you've had 100 years of happiness. Mm-hmm. Happiness, nothing kills you more than stress. Unhappiness and stress and a general gloom pulls your body down and wears it down. Mm-hmm. It's the tiredness thing. Yeah. You're tired all the time, but happiness contributes to an overall sense of well-being. You're active. You're more active. You're more hopeful. You exercise more. You do more. So, yes, you shouldn't just consume nothing but soft drinks and cheese balls, even though Dr. Pepper and cheese balls are delicious. But what I'm finding is that these people that we're talking to, these 104-year-old folks, they have a general sense of well-being. Mm-hmm. You know, they're happy people. And that's what really contributes to it.
So last thing, we're going to wrap up on Andy, and I'll throw you for a quick loop.
Have a Dr. Pepper and a cheese ball.
Thought of off the top of my head, to be honest with you.
Beautiful.
But the last thing we're going to say, so the article here says, okay, burial is becoming the most boring thing you can do with your dead body. That's the article headline.
Okay.
So there's a company called Miso Loft, M-E-S-O, Miso Loft.
Okay.
It was founded in 2014. What they do is they send high altitude balloons into the atmosphere.
Ooh.
With your ashes.
And they spread your ashes.
And they release them into space.
Wonderful.
Over the atmosphere of our planet. First of all, what do you think about that? Do you think that's strange? Or if somebody said they're going to do that, would you be like, okay, that's cool?
It's a symbolic
gesture. Don't tell me yet what you want to do.
Family,
don't tell
me
yet what you want to do with yours, because that's the loop. But go ahead. But how do you think about that?
That's fine. If that gives you a little bit of peace in your life, that your ashes will be spread.
If your wife or your parents want to do this to you, would you be like, whatever, sure. Okay. Yeah, release me over
the spreading of the ashes is not for the dead folk. It's for the family.
Oh, it's not for the dead folk.
Of course it's not. Of course it's not.
They can't feel it.
Burials are burials and funerals. They are celebrations of a life well lived for the family. They're not for the dead folks. The dead folks aren't there.
I told you how much space floating in space scares me. So if my family does this, gonna be a sick joke, brother.
Yeah.
Hard pass for me on this. What if I could feel something in those ashes, brother?
You can't.
What if mentally?
Bro,
I know scientifically that's not possible. Dead. But what if I can't be floating in space for eternity, bro? Yeah. After as scared as I am about
Not only that, like you are turned into like countless little bits of you floating, spreading off.
That's what I'm saying. I'm just fucking everywhere.
Yeah, man.
I can't do that, bro. Yeah. I am not. Ashes, body, nothing, brother. Okay. I do not want to be in space. I can't do it. Here's your loop.
Okay.
What do you want? Okay, first of all, are you burial guy or are you ashes guy?
Ashes for sure. Don't put
your
my
ashes?
Body. Yes,
yes. All right,
so if you're gonna put my body in the ground, do not put it in a steel coffin that keeps it from decaying. Put it in the ground so it decays and serves the.
Wow. So like the old pet cemetery.
Yeah, dude. Why?
Or
no, no. Why?
Life, brother.
The thing is, I mean, burial is a natural part of human life. Like we come from the earth, we put ourselves back in the earth. But the problem is, we put ourselves in steel boxes that keep us from decaying.
Well, we talked about that one.
Dude, like, what are you gonna do that? Put the body in the ground, let it decay, let it become part
we
of the earth.
We talked about that one.
It's natural.
We talked about that one company that does the thing where they fertilize a tree with your body.
That's what I want.
You like that one.
Number one.
So is that your answer? Is that what you want to do? You want to become a tree?
First of all, I'm going to give you two answers. One, I don't care. I'm dead. You can do whatever I want. But because I don't care, I want what happens to me to serve my family and the world.
Well, that's funny that you say that, because my answer is they can do whatever they want as well.
Exactly. The tree thing is cool because my ashes help to create another being that serves this world, a tree that gives oxygen and beauty to the world, homes for squirrels and whatnot. So I want my ashes and whatever happens to my body to be in service of the world and my family.
I like it. That's actually my answer as well. I'm going to let my wife and kids decide.
Dump me overboard. It's fine.
You know, you remember in Meet the Parents when the ashes were on the mantle and he knocked them over? Fokker. knocked them over and the cat pissed in them like they were litter. His mother's ashes. I'd be okay. Put them in the litter box. I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. I mean, cats my whole life. You know what I mean?
Cats
I'm a cats
life.
Guy.
It's, see, look, but then
incorporate me into kitty litter. That's fine.
You're
getting shit on after
your ashes.
I'm getting shit on after
are in
life.
Service to life.
I'm getting shit on post life as well.
Are in service.
All
to
right,
life.
Let's bring in Peaches and Nerd, brother, because we were reunited today. Now, look, let me tell everyone something real quick before you give your final thought, okay? Episode 72.
Wow.
We're on hiatus, so we're getting together about once a month.
Once a month.
So it's going to be another good 20, 30 days before we lay another one down.
Laying it down, brother.
So
lay me down.
Soak in this episode. We do have some bonus episodes that I'm going to throw up in the interim. Mm. But this one will be up this weekend for the 2P Loyals.
I feel like you're laying me down right now.
But we're on hiatus, man, until probably September. So we need people to chill out a little bit.
They're
kind of hitting me up like the Star Wars fan base. All right, man, give us your final thought, episode 72, brother.
We talked about a lot of wonderful things today, a lot of deep topics, and a lot of, I think, lessons we're learning. But the primary lesson is happiness is something you give to your life, not something you get from your life. You find happiness inside. You find happiness in your experiences, and you bring that to your job. You bring that to your interactions. You bring that to your family. You bring that to what you're doing. You're never going to find satisfaction and happiness externally. You're going to find it in who you are and what you are becoming, and you're going to give that as a gift to the world. And then guess what? You take happiness with you. No matter how many Dr. Peppers you drink.
Listen to this guy.
All right.
Give me bury me with some Dr. Pepper and some cheese balls.
If I bury you and there's a Dr. Pepper and cheese ball there, I'm eating it, bro. Like, wait, what happened to the Dr. Pepper and cheese balls? Like, I'm sorry. I'm delicious. Gerald would have wanted it this way.
I feel that, brother. Yeah. Andy, welcome back, man. I was glad I was very happy to chat with you again today, episode 72. And we will get together again sometime in the next month and do it again, man.
Let's do it.
And keep enjoying your summer.
I will.
I want to see more pics of you in a Speedo, though. I haven't seen enough of those. It's summertime, man. It's sun's summertime. Out, buns out, brother. All right. I love you. I'll see you sometime.
All right, brother.
Thank you for listening to Two Peas on a Podcast. The views and opinions expressed were solely those of the hosts and are not necessarily shared by our distributors or hosting companies. Visit twopeasonapod.com for more info.
You've been listening to a Blazing Caribou Studios production. Support and subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/blazingcariboustudios.